Welcome to the Why Did I Get Cancer podcast. I'm Deborah Herlax-Enos, a small-town girl turned TV nutritionist and healthy living expert. I design health programs for the average guy or gal, including those average guys named Metallica. On September 1st, 2020, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I asked every oncologist the same question, why did I get cancer? But none of my doctors had good answers for me. I wanted answers, and that's why I started this podcast. I want to help you to lower your cancer risk and provide self-care tips for those in the battle. I'm getting answers, and I want to share them with you. Okay, I just spent an hour with Dr. Josh Axe. I got to tell you, I could probably do a whole show on my takeaways, but probably one of my more interesting takeaways was the role of mindset in healing. Dr. Axe talks about neuroplasticity and basically where our thoughts go, there goes our health. So if we're thinking positive thoughts about body parts or, you know, my back hurts or, you know, maybe I even have cancer. If you're thinking positive thoughts, your mindset is strong. It's amazing how healing can come out of that. There's lots of data. There's lots of research. And Dr. Axe has a new book coming out in April called Think This, Not That. And just a small story with my personal story, I have not been a good sleeper for most of my life. I get into bed. I start thinking too much. And so what I've been doing the last couple of weeks is I get into bed and I immediately start saying to myself silently, I'm a great sleeper. I'm a great sleeper. And I have to tell you, within 5 minutes, I'm asleep. So you got to listen to today's podcast. It is just full of so much wisdom. We could have probably talked for 2 or 3 hours. Give it a listen. All right, everyone. Welcome to Why Did I Get Cancer with my very special guest, Dr. Josh Axe. And I could say you don't need an introduction, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. So you have your natural medicine doctor. You've got your chiropractic degree from, you were at Kentucky campus?
Palmer.
Is that where you? Palmer College. Okay.
Yeah, Palmer.
Yeah, certified nutrition specialist. And whenever I need to check facts, I actually go to your website. It is a wealth of information. And I know you'll also just break it down into digestible bites. So welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's really good to have you here. And we'll talk about your new book as well. But first of all, I just wanted to say thank you for your contribution to my article about the lymphatic system in the Costco Connection in January. And, you know, the lymphatic system can be a little hard to understand. And it might not sound sexy, but it's a really important system to be aware of. And if it's not functioning well, you probably can't be well. Is that a true statement?
Yeah, you know, the way that some people describe the lymphatic system, now this may not sound very appealing or sexy, but it's sort of like a sewage system for the body. I mean, you've got red blood cells and white blood cells and a lot of these cells in your body that we need to, once they do their job or they need to be eliminated, that they can be flushed out of the body. And so your lymphatic system is really a big part of your immune system and detoxification system. It's where both those systems really, really, really meet. And so, you know, when your lymphatic system is really moving as it should, your body is able to get rid of viral infections and Lyme and a number of other things that are cancer cells that are dead now that have been exterminated that the body needs to eliminate. So yeah, lymphatic drainage is really, really important both for the immune system and for the detoxification system. So it's very connected to the liver, very connected as well to the blood, and very connected to, as I mentioned, our immune cells.
So, I mean, it sounds as important as our blood. I mean, it really is probably in the same category.
Yeah, it's sort of part two. You know, after the blood does what it's supposed to do, it needs to move on and out of the system. You know, one other thing that's really important for it is its ability to eliminate, as I mentioned, toxins, senescent cells. These are cells that when they accumulate in our body, secrete these inflammatory markers. There's a term going around that I think everybody should become familiar with. It's inflammaging. So inflammation plus aging, inflammaging. One of the biggest reasons we age is over time, our cells, some of our cells become stop working as well. So think about it like this. If you've ever had an injury and your body produced scar tissue, right? Mm-hmm. Scar tissue is a type of tissue that can work and function, but not as good as healthy young tissue. And so all that being said, we have these senescent cells in our body that cause us to age more quickly. Your lymphatic system is a system that helps eliminate and get rid of those cells. And so it's like I said, it's very, very important that it's working optimally, everything mm-hmm. from cancer prevention to cancer detoxification to, you know, just overall having a healthy immune system.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm so intrigued by this topic because I had a lymph node removed during one of my cancer surgeries.
Yep.
Is there an age when the lymphatic system starts to slow down or malfunction?
Well, generally speaking, and let me say my mom did as well. When my mom had breast cancer, mm-hmm. she had a mastectomy and had her mm-hmm. some lymph nodes removed there too. When we think about age, when most people on average age starts going the other way in terms of your body starts functioning less than optimally, typically at 25 years of age. That tends to be, like, for instance, collagen production. We know once you hit 25 mm-hmm. or 26, that's when our body stops producing less collagen over time. Now, I think it's possible that for some people, it could be as late as 30 years old. But I do think for most people, it's probably around that 25 years of age. And that's where supplementation and other things become even more important. Now, there was a recent article out, actually a scientific study that was really fascinating that said certain organs age faster than others for certain people. So if you have this study, again, it was really fascinating. So they looked at people and they said, well, when we tested some people, like let's say we had one person, okay, let's say a woman who's 40 years old. Her heart might be the age of a 30-year-old, but her lymphatic system is the age of a 70-year-old, okay? Or her thyroid is the age of a 70-year-old, but her, you know, her liver is the age of a 40-year-old. It's what it probably should be. And so then you really know, well, this is an organ that's aged faster than other organs. Mm-hmm. That's an organ we need to really focus on regenerating the cells. I mean, that's really key. I think when we look at the future of medicine, it's how do we regenerate the organs and the cells? Because when you think about, well, why is your thyroid not well? Or any organ, because, like, for instance, your red blood cells are completely new every 4 months. Your blood is 100% new every 4 months. Your gut lining is new every 4 to 14 days. Your liver is new. So most of your organs, like your liver, mm-hmm. are new every 150 to 500 days. So every year, approximately, you have a completely new liver. So if your body is regenerating properly and healing properly, you're going to have a new liver. But if it's not, your liver is going to stay stagnant or ill or even get worse. And so part of what we want to be able to do is do things that help regenerate that tissue. And there are certain, there's really three main components of this that I've helped patients with and people over time. And it's like, we need to increase cellular energy to the area. We need to bring it nutrients and blood supply and eliminate the toxins that are affecting it. So for instance, if somebody has a thyroid that's sick, like hypothyroidism or Hashimoto's, we need to get energy there. Well, a big part of that is the adrenal glands. We have to get those healthy and you need to get really good sleep at night. There's also some nutrients that are very important for that, like vitamin B12, herbs like ginseng or ashwagandha are very good. There's also, eliminating the toxins that are going to affect it. And then there are, which could be heavy metals especially. Mm-hmm. And then there's the building blocks that are important for thyroid health, like iodine, selenium, thiamine, and others are really crucial to it as well. So anyways, I think we're going to see a lot more discussion around cellular regeneration in the future and helping people heal. But to sort of, I know this is a long way of answering your question, but I do think, you know, one thing everybody wants to consider is, do I have an organ that's aging faster than another? It's not just 25 years of age. It's also, what is my specific issue and how do I get more blood flow there? How do I get more nutrients there and do things to help it heal?
Right. And so, sure, you get blood work done, you find out you have an underactive thyroid or, something going on with that. But how do you know where to start?
Yeah, well, I think here's a few ways. One is your symptoms, of course. Your body is trying to tell you something. That's mm-hmm. one way. Another way is more of a Western approach, and that's blood work. You know, certain blood work will show. Now, one of the issues with some blood work today is some of it can be inaccurate, or the ranges really aren't what they should be. Like, for instance, there's a lot of people who maybe don't have type 2 diabetes, but they have metabolic syndrome, also known as syndrome X. And so, and that's causing certain areas of their body to age more quickly. So blood work is more the Western approach. From an Eastern approach, seeing an acupuncturist. I mean, acupuncturists and that Oriental medicine does an incredible job of being able to tell exactly what's going on in the body. In fact, I mentioned this as I was referencing this earlier. If we want to help an organ regenerate, that's part of what acupuncture does, is they move they call it energy. We could call it ATP. We could call it electrical signals in Western medicine. Mm-hmm. But basically, they're sending energy, blood flow, and more signals to that organ to help it regenerate and heal more quickly. So I would say those would be the three things I would say is blood work from a Western perspective, seeing an acupuncturist from an Eastern perspective. And then, of course, just listening to our bodies, I think is the other way we're able to tell, hey, what exactly is going on with me? But I actually think acupuncture is probably the most accurate way of all.
I love that. I have been an early adopter of acupuncture, even when I had zero money and, you know, horrible health insurance. I just found an acupuncture school near where I live. Oh, yeah. So I could go there, and for $20, I'd have five students working on me. And then the teacher would come in and say, oh yeah, you did this, you know, so I got the most amazing care for $20.
That's
so
great.
You know, you don't have to be wealthy to be healthy.
Yeah.
You know, there's ways around it, you know, and you know, as prices go up and this and that goes up, I hear so often, I can't afford to be healthy. You know, it's cheaper for me to get a bag of Doritos than it is a bag of organic broccoli. And so what do you say to resistance like that?
Yeah, people that say that, here's what I would say. And I'm trying to say this with as much compassion as possible.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to be healthy, if you have a big enough purpose and reason why, you will. I would say that most people, and by the way, I'm not talking about the 1% of people. There's probably 1% of people in the United States. Now, there's a much larger portion outside the United States, but I would say that's living with a limited mindset, limiting beliefs, and a victim mindset. And I'll give you an example of this. Like, and part of it is like, I know, but then I'm sharing with everybody to do what they do. Let's say I only had a very, very limited budget. And, you know, let's say, you know, whatever that might be. Well, you can still eat real food. It doesn't have to be organic broccoli. Let's talk about rice. You know how much a bag of rice is and how long that'll last you? An incredibly long time. How about beans? Yeah. You know how, you know, to do a bag of beans, you know how much that'll last you a really long time. Mm-hmm. What if you go and buy in bulk, go to a farm and buy a full chicken or a part of a cow and save that in a, you know, maybe you go to a local garage sale and you buy a freezer and save that and pull that out, or you go hunting, maybe with a friend, you know, and if you're, you know, if I'm not saying everybody's into hunting, but if you are, you could, you know? And so I think there are a lot of ways if you tend to be wise and you tend to really want to be healthy, there's a way. Like, I didn't have a lot of money growing up. My family was, I would say, lower middle class. Now we weren't very poor, but my parents like both worked. Like, my mom made $7,000 a year teaching. And then my dad made like $28,000 a year. My dad used to work on power lines. Like, he worked out, you know, for a company called Bell Telephone in Ohio. And he was the guy out, you know, freezing cold winters in Ohio working on. So that was my.
Without hazard pay, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my dad growing up. And my parents found a way. Now, listen, it wasn't perfect, but it was just a lot of home cooked meals with, again, rice, beans. We bought meat, you know, some we'd have small portions of vegetables and we'd buy in bulk as much as we could, use coupons. And my family found a way to do it.
I'm a big fan of protein. Yep. You've listened to this podcast before. You know, I'm a big fan of protein. I grew up on a farm and I had access to great healthy sources of protein that we grew ourselves for the most part. So I want to talk to you today about chicken thighs. I'm a huge fan of chicken thighs. I like chicken breasts too, but there's just not a lot of flavor to them. I love chicken thighs because they have a higher fat content than chicken breast. So for me, what that means is if I have protein with a higher fat content, it keeps me fuller longer. If I stay fuller longer, then that also means I'm not snacking. I work from home, so it is really easy for me to go into the kitchen and be snacking for a good chunk of the afternoon. So if I have a chicken thigh at lunch, it's a fantastic way for me to go. It keeps me fuller longer. Here's the other thing I like about chicken thighs is the serving size is just about perfect for somebody my size. For my husband, he might eat 1.5 or maybe even 2. But for me, 1 is enough. It's again, it's a really great size for me. So let me tell you about the ButcherBox deal right now on chicken thighs. It's actually choose your own protein. You could choose chicken thighs, steak tips, or ground beef. But you could get free chicken thighs, 3 pounds of them in your box every month. And you could do that for an entire year or just do it for a couple of months. Use the code ENOS, all lowercase, E-N-O-S. The link is in the show notes to go to the ButcherBox website and figure out what you're going to put in your first box. Anyway, I hope you enjoy these chicken thighs as much as I do. It's probably one of my favorite go-to proteins. You can put them in a crock pot, cast iron skillet, or even put them on the barbecue. Oh, and I just got a Blackstone, so that's what I'm going to try out this weekend. I'll keep you posted. Enjoy. Mommy, I like doing dishes. I actually do. It gives me an immediate sense of accomplishment, which I absolutely love. But I have been struggling trying to find the right non-toxic or at least low-tox detergent for my dishwasher and for my sink, or, you know, for doing dishes by hand. So probably my favorite one that I found is from a company called Young Living, and it's called Thieves. They have a powder for your dishwasher and a liquid for your sink. And I don't know how they do it and make it so good and so low-tox, but I am a huge fan. And especially when it comes to my dishwasher, if I'm going to start rinsing everything off the dishes, I might as well just go ahead and keep doing the dishes, right? So what I love about it is the dishes can be a little bit junky, maybe not super junky, like 2 days of eggs on it, but a little bit junky. I could put it in the dishwasher, use my Thieves from Young Living powder detergent, and it gets it clean. So I've got all the information in the show notes. And if you use the code SHAREYL, you actually get 10% off of your first order of $50. Happy dishwashing.
By the way, I do want to recognize there are some people that are in a very, very tough place. So maybe that's a goal a year from now and you do everything you can to get there. But I think for 99% of people in the United States, in Western countries today, it is possible to do it if you know how, which I'm sharing how right now. For people to do. And I think so much of this is related to mindset, by the way. You know, I published a book that's just coming out, which I think is just a game changer for people. It's called Think This, Not That. Our thoughts become our reality. There's a quote from the book of Proverbs that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think and believe I can get healthy, I can find a way to get real food, you will. And so a lot of times, though, we have these limiting beliefs, and it might have been something that a parent said to us one time or a teacher. Like I was told, when I was in high school, a freshman year English, I had very poor grades. I almost didn't graduate high school. My grades were so poor, in fact.
Wow.
And I had a teacher tell me to stay after class. And she said, hey, what do you want to do when you graduate? And I said, I want to become a doctor. And she laughed and she said, you'll never become a doctor. She said, your grades are too low. And by the way, it was really heartbreaking for me because the year before my mom had breast cancer, and that's when she had her mastectomy. She went through chemotherapy, lost all her hair. And so I had seen the pain my mom had went through. And so I was very attuned to, I want to help people like my mom. I want to help them use food as medicine and heal naturally. And so when she told me that, it really sort of broke my heart. And then I thought 2 weeks later, I went into a doctor and I was diagnosed with ADHD. And so then I thought, well, gosh, not only am I not smart, I'm like medically not smart. There's something wrong with me. And as a freshman, a 14-year-old, I didn't know any better. So I just kind of gave up that dream. And then finally in college, the only way I got into a college I wanted to go to, it was a college, like it wasn't my first choice, but a college I wanted to go to was, I didn't get in, but they sent me a letter and they said, if you come and do summer school, and if you average above a 3.0, we'll let you in. And so I didn't want to be the kid to not go to college. So I went and went and I said, I'm going to try. Cause in high school, I really didn't try because I just thought I'm not smart. What's the use? And I went, and by the way, my first class, it was, So the high school, it was freshman English one, 101 for high school. Mm-hmm. Well, this was English 101 as a freshman in college. Wow. And we have our first assignment. It's a paper. I go and work really hard on it. I turn it in. And the teacher, it's like deja vu. A few days after I handed it in, she says, Josh, can you stay after class? And I thought, oh no. I thought, I blew it. Not again. Exactly. And she said, hey, what do you want to do? She said, what's your major? And I said, of course, a freshman in college, like, I don't know. And she said, well, I really think you should consider being an English or a journalism paper because you're a really talented writer. She said, you know, I think you could. Wow. Yeah, she said, I think she said you got the highest grade in the class. You got an A+ on this paper. She said, great work. And for me, you know, I'll compare this to something medical, like an organ transplant. Like I had like a mindset transplant and a belief transplant about myself because I went from believing I wasn't smart, having low self-esteem throughout high school. And that teacher, that one teacher told me, Josh, you're capable. You're a great writer. You have this talent. And literally then, like throughout college, I went and got a above a 3.0 GPA. And then when I went to Johns Hopkins University, got in there and averaged a 3.9 GPA at Johns Hopkins. And I just share that to say, not to brag, but just to say like, I went from being that kid that barely graduated high school to that.
Right.
And it was just a single limiting belief I was able to break through. I think there's a lot of people today, Deborah, who have a belief of I can't get healthy. Maybe their doctor told them you've got to be on this drug the rest of your life. Or they thought, well, my mom had this, and so I'm going to have it. I'll have to struggle with this. And the reality is almost all of the time, those are false narratives. Mm-hmm. And I really believe if people are able to create a new belief and overcome these limiting beliefs, they can see a breakthrough in their relationships, their health, every area of life. And that's why I wrote the book, Think This, Not That. And if people want to experience a breakthrough, I'd encourage you to go to joshax.com. I've got, by the way, hundreds of dollars worth of free content I'll give you, including a workbook and other things. If you get the book through joshax.com. I wrote this because really it changed my life, being able to break through some of those limiting beliefs. And I wanted to help people be able to do the same. And I saw the same thing with my mom, by the way. I think when my mom was going through cancer, Deborah, one of the most important parts of her healing was changing her mindset and her emotions and her beliefs. My mom, I would say she was a people pleaser. Like she really wanted to just make people happy. Mm-hmm. And anytime anybody would give her criticism, she took it incredibly personally. My mom had a real had a lot of fear and worry, fear of disappointing others. Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, in Chinese medicine, it's known that different emotions that are negative affect different organ systems and can even create cancer in certain areas. So worry, that emotion is tied to breast cancer. Specifically.
I've been looking for this information and haven't been able to find it because I'm a certified nutritionist. I run half marathons. I do yoga. I've been eating organic. I haven't used deodorant with aluminum in 25 years. Why did I get breast cancer? This is why I started this podcast. I needed to know the why. And Dr. Axe, I think for me, what I've discerned is that it was mindset and it was my thoughts and it was my reactions and, you know, it was worry. It was people pleasing and a lack of forgiveness toward others.
Yes. It's so good because, and let me hit on a few of these others that are really important for knowing which emotions make which organs sick, which systems. So we mentioned here worry. Worry is tied to the breast and the digestive system, the upper digestive system. By the way, so this is getting into the details here, but why would somebody get cancer on a left side and not their right side, or the right side and not their left side?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not, this isn't genetic. It's not, oh, I had a left-sided breast cancer gene. That doesn't make any sense. Well, here's the reason why. The left side in Chinese medicine is tied to the yang. And so if a woman doesn't feel feminine or beautiful or isn't in touch with her feminine side and doesn't feel like she's, if it's that sort of issue, breast cancer will show up on the left side. If a woman on the right side is overnourishing, so think about this. If you're a mom and you've got three kids or five or eight, a lot of kids, and you feel like you're giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, that will cause breast cancer on the other side because so the breasts we know there's two primary roles in society, and it's tied to sort of the, you know, sexual attraction, mm-hmm. but also nourishing an infant.
Yeah.
And so that sexual attraction, not feeling feminine, connected with in that way, feeling beautiful, that's the one. And then nourishing, but that sort of emotional, spiritual, if you over nourish and you don't get anything in return and don't rest and have right self-care, it'll cause it on the other side. And then, of course, I mentioned the digestion. If somebody has a lot of worry, you'll even get an upset stomach. So worry affects those systems of the body. And then when we look at fear, this is obvious. We all know this one, but that's really adrenals, kidneys, and reproductive organs. Because when you are in a fight or flight state, your body is pumping out cortisol and adrenaline and those stress hormones. And if that's too much over time, that just fatigues the adrenals, sometimes the kidney, and then a lot of those reproductive system organs. So fear. Then we have the liver and your detoxification system, your liver, gallbladder, and parts of your lymphatic system, though lymphatic is actually connected to two areas. But the liver is really, if you've got anger, frustration, resentment, bitterness, or unforgiveness, that really affects the liver and your body's ability to detoxify. And the other one is the immune system, and that's your lungs and your colon. 90% of your bacteria and your microbiome live in your colon, the lower part of your digestive tract there. And so that is really tied to if you've had something happen in the past and it still bothers you today. So it could be emotional trauma, it could be physical abuse, sexual abuse, anything that's happened in the past, and you're living with the shame or regret or something like that, and you haven't been able to let go and move on, that shuts down and weakens your immune system. And by the way, this is why unforgiveness is probably the most toxic of all the emotions in terms of cancer. It's the hardest on cancer, because unforgiveness is you are resentful about something that's happened in the past. The resentment's affecting the liver, your detoxification, the thing happening in the past is affecting your whole immune system. And those are the two primary systems that are responsible for killing off cancer cells and keeping you from having those. And so, and the last one here is anxiety. We know that can raise your blood pressure. That affects the cardiovascular system and the nervous system, anxiety the most. And so, but, you know, and there are fields now, like German New Medicine touches on a little bit of this, but really Chinese medicine has been talking about this for thousands of years. And
for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, but this is why it is so critical. If somebody wants to live a long time, stay healthy, reverse cancer, any of those things, that they take care of their mental health and their emotions and their mindset, because I actually think it's a bigger cause of cancer than diet and lifestyle, or at least equal to.
Let me repeat that. So our mindset, forgiveness, lack of forgiveness, all of those things can be as important as diet. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that makes so much sense, because we're eating three or four times a day, but we are thinking.
That's right.
15 hours a day.
Well, but, and here's the other thing, Deborah, 95% of our thoughts are unconscious. And so those unconscious thoughts, when you're walking around, you like, again, the limiting beliefs. I would walk around all day. I'd never said it one time. And maybe I'd think it once a few times a day. But subconsciously in my head, it's, I wasn't smart. I'm not smart. I'm not smart. I'm not smart. Or my mom, not even thinking about it. She didn't realize it, but I need to please this person and this person. And if I don't please one single person, I'm a failure. You know?
Oh, it's, yeah. And that also, I would say, is so much more predominant in with women than with men.
It is. It's funny. It is. And there are other reasons why men get illness. But with women in particular, I would say it can be more predominant, because this would be a longer rabbit hole, but I'll just say this. Women tend to process thoughts more often, go deep. They tend to obsess more on it. Like think about the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. That tends to be more frequent. Where men will just tune out. They'll just go numb more often.
It's so true. I say to my husband, he's Army guy. So he, you know, served our country. He was a helicopter pilot. He just knows how to put things in a box and not think about them again, because that was his military training. Whereas I'm an over-communicator. I used to be an overthinker, but what I realized is overthinking was ruining my health. It was killing my energy. overthinking kills your sleep. You know, you get into bed and then you replay all these scenarios from the day. And, you know, you were talking about mindset. And I was also diagnosed with ADHD. I was on Ritalin as a kid. So, you know, the mind is just like, it just goes. And so what I've been doing, and Dr. Axe, I just started this about 2 weeks ago, instead of getting into bed and thinking, I didn't do that, I didn't do that, you know, now I am prophesying over myself and I get into bed and I say, I'm a great sleeper.
That's great.
I'm a great sleeper. And instead of taking an hour to fall asleep, I'm asleep in probably 5 minutes, which has never happened in my life. So now I'm thinking, what other stories am I telling myself? I have so much more awareness post-cancer of the narrative that is going in my head that is limiting. I'm not smart enough. I'm not, you know, wealthy enough, pretty enough, connected enough, all of those things. I'm done. Cancer cured me of that.
Yes. Well, I think what you're saying here is so important because, and by the way, and I saw this clinically, when I think about, I had a practice that was predominantly families and a lot of women, a lot of moms. Mm-hmm. And overthinking is one of the is one of those things that will keep you sick. I can't tell you how many patients I had who stayed sick or didn't see as big of a breakthrough as they should because of overthinking. And this is why I touched on these things in my practice is to help, because I think a lot of times people go to the doctor and a doctor would never think about the importance of emotional health, or they might mention the word stress, but not even tell them what to do. Hey, reduce stress.
Right. Good idea.
Yeah, that's not that helpful. And so I really made this a big part of my practice is trying to give people hope, encourage them, bring up things like overthinking or these different emotions to, you know, for them to address them. And I would help them address them in order to start to heal. So again, it's really, really important. And oftentimes overthinking is, it's a couple things. It's one, it's oftentimes you trying to control things maybe you can't control. Is very, very common. That's probably the most common thing. And the other thing I would say overthinking is that you're too busy and you have so many things going on that you're trying to figure out how to juggle it all. I got to do this. And I like, you feel like you've got to achieve. You're in this achievement mentality where I got to be super mom. I got to be super wife. I got to be super career now. I mean, this is literally what society has put on women today. And some of it, it's actually a lot of women's fault because women started saying, well, we don't need men and we want to do it all. That's a whole nother topic.
That's
on
a
masculinity.
Whole other podcast.
Femininity. But my point here is that, you know, we're supposed to be doing things together. It should be a team. It should be a family. And I think, and I see this like, because I've ran, you know, really large organizations like a supplement company and other thing, wellness company. Mm-hmm. And I do see some women, they really feel like I need to be a CEO and the perfect mom and the perfect wife. And have hobby, like it's just, and the pressure's crushing.
Right. It is crushing. Yeah. It's crushing. It's overwhelming. And at the end of all that, they're still not taking care of themselves. So
that's
you
right.
talked earlier about, you know, having an awareness of your body. You can't have an awareness of your body if you are checking this box, checking that box. I'm super mom. I just got a promotion at work. We can't do it all. And I think it's time to just admit, like, you can't do it all.
Yeah.
And you can't have it all, but you can have joy.
That's right. Men need women. Women need men. We need to prioritize and do what we were designed to do, what we love, you know, what God's put in our heart to do. And so I think the more that people can get in that position of really, here's the, now I want to give this example, which might be helpful. You know, Warren Buffett, he's the most successful investor of all time in terms of finances and wealth. And when we think about Warren Buffett, they asked him, they said, hey, how have you stayed so successful? What are your keys? Well, his number one key was ignore what media and culture are saying, like ignore completely all media, all culture, all the outside pressure. And I think if someone were to go and just completely ignore what's going on with the media and culture and what everybody is telling them, these opinion people that don't have any wisdom, and they'd only listen to the 1% of people that are the most wise, most virtuous, most good people that have done the greatest good on the earth. Their life would look so much more simple.
Make sure you tune in to next week's episode, part two with Dr. Josh Axe, where we take a deeper dive into the last year that he has had. And I have to tell you, it was rough. He couldn't walk for a year. His parents actually even came and helped take care of him. He learned a lot during that really dark season and even ended up writing a book. So tune in next week. You've got to hear this story. 75% of the U.S. population is deficient in magnesium. And the tests to see if you are deficient are really not the best tests around. So this is one of the reasons why I actually supplement with magnesium. A couple of the reasons why people are so magnesium deficient is we just don't eat enough produce. We don't eat enough green vegetables specifically, but also the soil has really changed. So I'm going to tell you about a product I really like, Optimal Magnesium. It's from Dr. Ben Lynch's company. It's called Seeking Health. And I like their products. I love their liquid vitamin D combined with K. And I also really love their chewable multivitamins because sometimes I am just sick of swallowing pills and I want to do it a different way. So I might do the drops or I might do a chewable. If you want to get 10% off of your first order, use the code DENOS10. And I'll have all the information in the show. All the information in the show notes. Enjoy. Thank you for joining me today on the Why Did I Get Cancer podcast. I've got my shopping guide for all of my cancer self-care items in the show notes, along with information about today's guest and our show sponsors. And don't forget to subscribe to my podcast so you never miss an episode. Keep in mind, I'm not a doctor. I'm just a gal that got diagnosed with cancer and wanted answers. If you need medical advice, please be sure to consult with a medical professional. And thank you for listening.